Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
Good morning, Walter.
Okay, good morning. It was just eerie silence there. Okay. Good morning again. So welcome to the August 9th, 2017 Safety Officer Teleconference. Thank you for joining the call. I just want to remind everyone this call is being recorded to be available for playback later as a podcast. My name is Walter Krajalis, President of Aeronomics. I'm your host and discussion moderator. I'm an ISBAO auditor, an aviation consultant, and attorney, and I'm proud to host these teleconferences as a means for safety officers to get together to compare notes and hear ideas dealing with issues related to aviation safety and safety management systems. Our sponsor for these calls is Allianz Insurance. I want to thank them for their support. And some quick ground rules for everyone on a call. The call is 30 minutes. Again, it's being recorded to be available as a podcast. So when you want to speak, just remember to unmute yourself and just use your first name. No need to use full names or company names. Use your mute button feature on your phone to cut down on background noise. And so our last call, 2 weeks ago, we discussed a couple of things. We touched upon that Air Canada go-around at San Francisco again, briefly. We also discussed the ISBAO standard 8.5.3, which is regarding the protection of CBR and FDR data from inappropriate use, and also a ground handling incident in Las Vegas. And so just wanted to know if anybody had any additional comments or questions about that in any way. If so, just go ahead and unmute yourself and speak up. All right. Regular features, discuss any aviation accidents pertinent to business aviation in the last 2 weeks, and I scoured the internet for that and didn't see anything. Unless, is there an event that someone knows about that I might have missed? All right. A new feature that I want to mention is I got this from some feedback. I will send out an email about it and post it on our website later this week. But you know, the participation in these calls by safety officers, by all intents and purposes, is a recurrent training session, as far as I'm concerned, and so. If anyone wants to receive credit for that, some recognition in a certificate of training, which may help in compliance with ISBAO, with their safety officers, we'll set up a process where if you send me the phone number that you dialed in from, I can track who was on the call just by phone number. And after a certain number of hours, I can issue a certificate to you. So I'm happy to do that.
All right, cool, Walter. Thanks.
Oh well, thank you. Among many things I wanted to spruce things up. So,
all right.
So it's time to open up the call to any new topics for anyone that has maybe an issue that they are encountering and want to bring up among their peers and discuss. If so, go ahead and unmute yourself and speak up.
Good morning. This is Bob. I have a question for the group. It's peripherally related. Regarding European operations and FOQA, I'm wondering if anybody has had a SAFA check wherein you were asked to prove your compliance with BOPWA data collection and reporting, and if so, how you did that. That makes sense. Well,
Bob, this is Craig. Yeah, we fly to Europe very regularly with multiple aircraft, and we really have never run into that problem when we've been SAFA checked. Some of our other ones have been more some of the other checklist items that they've tried to really scrutinize us on, but we've never really had that issue with the FOQA. So I'm interested to hear if others have had that same issue, or you know, as we're getting our FOQA program up online now, you know, it's definitely a topic of concern, but yeah, we haven't ever had a SAFA check be noted for that.
Thanks for that. Sorry, this is Walter. I I was cut off on the call there. I'm calling from my cell phone, so if there was any awkward long pause, I apologize for that. So I hear somebody did respond to your question, Bob. Anybody have another comment on that?
It's Tom. Anecdotally, I had heard that because European agencies wanted to see some sort of flight data monitoring program from an operator, that customers would have QARs installed and use that as their evidence that they are collecting data. Now, whether they're actually using the program as it's intended to be used as a safety assurance tool, I'm not so sure. But just having the QAR installed was their tactic.
Well, thanks. I mean, I can pull off the avionics rack and point to it and go, there it is. Okay. Sure. Well, you know, because it is, I think, part of what pillar number 3, safety assurance, and I seem to be big on that. So, I've heard of somebody being asked to prove that they were, you know, doing that, and I didn't know, you know, how you would go about proving that. I don't think anybody provides, unless you carry your last quarter report, which I suppose you could do in your SAFA binder. But other than that, I don't know.
This is Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Suggestion. Yeah, just a suggestion, guys. Although I've never run into that specifically, I've run into the SMS question. Is if you keep a copy of your SMS manual on the airplane, if you have a FOQA program, it should be referenced in your SMS manual, and you can show them that, and that would be considered proof, I would think.
Yeah, I haven't had firsthand knowledge on or firsthand experience about that, but I believe that's the understanding is if you have a FOQA program, you should have a policy and procedures related to it, and wherever that is published, whether it's in its own manual or within your SMS or FOM, you know, I believe it would be sufficient to just, you know, turn to that page and say that that's our program right there. I don't believe that they're asking for any specific proof of data or any results, or has somebody experienced the contrary?
I would think that would be a violation of the integrity of the program in itself.
Oh, totally agree with you on that. So, you know, and I think what also helps is just say, you know, here's the email and phone number of our safety officer who heads up our FOQA program. He's happy and available to answer any of your questions and maybe divert it away from the crew.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate everybody's input.
All right. Thanks, Bob, for the question. I know since we tickled on FOQA again, you know, I guess, is there a sense out there of increasing numbers of FOQA, folks going on it, or the feedback I'm hearing is other than maybe a formality of having it, it's difficult still to see the results from it, or people are afraid of it, or the pilot population in general is afraid of it. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Hey, Walter, this is Craig again. Yeah, we've actually definitely seen that in discussions. You know, pilots are very, very skittish about that. But, you know, when we try to institute and recognize that we have a just culture that's associated with that, that it's definitely not for a, you know, a way to try to pin a guy on something, but more or less just a tool to learn from and improve our training and improve, you know, overall operations. And that's what we're using it for, and not something punitive. You know, we're definitely having that cultural shift right now, and I would imagine most others would probably have that same sentiment.
We've seen some definitely some people
first came. It took a constant reinforcement of you know, everyone involved that this is a good thing, and explain it, because I think there's just still a misunderstanding of how the data is used and who reviews it. All right, I was just curious. I'm having technical difficulties with my phone, apparently. Is everyone still there?
Yep.
Hey, firm.
Yep.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. All right. Anybody have any additional questions about the FOQA and SAFR checks, or is it time for a new topic? If so, go ahead and speak up.
Hey, Walter, my name's Steve. I had emailed you earlier this week about this topic, and just kind of bringing an SMS system up from the ground for our little 135 operator. And I was wondering if anyone had any experience with flightplan.com's SMS and FRAT system, or if they use something else, and just any feedback that anyone has about that.
All right, Steve, thanks. Yeah, and thanks for your email. I'm happy to open it up with anybody having some feedback. I would prefer to just kind of avoid maybe any specific bashing of anybody, but, you know, whatever firsthand experience or feedback somebody can share about. Does anybody use flightplan.com? I believe their SMS site is called flitsafety.com.
Anyone? This is Bob, and that's what we use, flightplan.com and then flightsafety.com. And, you know, it's generic, and they're pretty good about answering questions when you have them and call. It's more or less a whole manual, which is modifiable. They send you, I think there's 8 sections, including 2 that are ERP related. And in fact, while we were talking, I was about to start writing and modifying my section 5, which is about the SMS, specifically to include FOQA data. But it's a good starting place. We found it useful. They have some good training tools that I've used to present to the pilot group. How to use the flight risk assessment tool, which is included and of course is modifiable for your particular operation. It comes with some generic stuff, but everything is highly customizable. So far I don't have anything. I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's certainly not as customized coming to you as if you were to hire a consultant to come in and give you something from the ground up. And I think the costs reflect that. It's like $2,000 a year. But it's working for us. We're just about 2 years in with them.
Thanks, Bob.
Happy to answer specific questions, offline later on, if that would help.
Steve, it's a good question, and like buying anything, buyer beware. Talk to the sales guys, and try to get some referrals of customers that you can talk to. I haven't, in all sincerity, encountered the perfect online vendor for SMS. There's some that are very powerful, have great capabilities, but there's always a weakness or some shortcoming here or there or clunkiness, we can continue this discussion on the Aeronomics LinkedIn group. Happy to do that, and we can get more specific. I have encountered some of my clients that had flightplan.com, and there was one particular issue, and I don't know if it's been fixed. I'm talking from a couple of years ago, but when you wrote up a hazard, it was limited to 600 characters that could fit into the data box, the text box. So there was guys that were writing up what they wrote in a Word document, doing a word count or a character count, and editing it, and then would cut and paste it and put it in a flight plan, which to me was a big hang-up. And another thing to ask any vendor, which I talked about this with someone I was auditing last week, ask them who owns the data. When you enter information into their system, who owns that data? They'll always say, yes, you can access it, but if you wanted to leave it, if you wanted to export it and go to someone else, as to whether you can get that information. So that's an important question too. Anybody else have a comment?
Yeah, Chuck here. Quick question for you guys. Have you guys used any other programs that kind of give you a shell that you can go in and fill in and, kind of tailor to your operation? And if so, what were they and what were your experiences with them other than the flightsafety.com version?
Good. Thanks, Chuck. There are still several people out there on paper systems, and I think those work for the smaller operator. But even the smaller operator, when you get to a certain size, if you're a stage three, I think it's time to start looking for an online option. One operator I've seen that was creative used one of these project management softwares. There's Basecamp and Creed Camp. There's several of them out there. And as long as it's a way of entering a document and everybody can work on it and see it with certain permission levels, that's all it takes. Doesn't necessarily have to be even an aviation program, because SMS at the end of the day is a quality management process. And there's several out there. Just is anyone on the call that's aware of, something that's a little more generic that they've heard people using?
Have you looked at WBATS?
Well, that's a good one too. That's the FAA free service.
Okay, that's called WBAT.
Yes, WBAT.
Okay. Yeah, good input. Thanks, guys. I never really thought of going kind of outside of aviation to get the resources as well, but good info. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Walter, it's Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, just wanted to kind of jump on the back end of your comment about in a smaller flight department, the use of a paper-based system. I think that can be very – I came from that system, and it was very powerful. The nice thing was you can adapt it and modify it as you need to. The problem was the data collection point. And I think at the end, the lesson that I took away from it is you need some type of online submission point. Even if you're still using a paper-based system to track it at the safety office, it was very hard to get collect our data from our pilot group if we were solely based on paper, you know, because they ended up being faxed over or mailed over, and that just got to be too cumbersome.
What's a fax? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
But, you know, it's kind of like you want to learn to fly in a 172 and not in a Gulfstream, you know, though it's probably good. But, you know, that's how I feel. You know, everyone should try to maybe start out with paper as long as, you know, they're not too large of an operation, just to get the basics down. And then because I've seen the reverse where folks start on the online and when you ask them the question, show me, you know, how's your SMS going? They point to the website and you go, well, wait a minute. Remember, that's just a tool for your SMS. You chose them to help you with your reports and it's not the other way around. I agree that I haven't seen the hybrid where somebody collects it electronically and then processes it by paper. Paper at the end of the day is just a shortcoming in my opinion, because once you get to a size, again, it's clearly at stage three, you want to be able to do a word search. I did an audit not too long ago where just kind of reviewing the hazard reports, and there was a switch of safety officers. You know, there were a couple of prior similar incidents of a particular hazard that they recently had, and they weren't really aware that, you know, it had to do with hangar operations and the electrical system in the hangar. You know, unless you have a way to word search, you know, electric or hangar, that might be hard to find if you've got, you know, 87 reports all sitting on paper somewhere. Anybody?
Yeah, I apologize. When I said paper, I was thinking extracting to an MS Excel sheet or something like that. But you're absolutely right. I'm sorry.
Well, that's essentially the same. You know, we all produce the documents and maybe in a Word format and switch it to Excel. That's okay. I mean, that's almost the same as paper, except when it's digital, it is Word searchable. With Command F. So, or Control F if you're Microsoft. Any comments on that? All right. And maybe to just piggyback on the data collection of SMS and processing it, I'm still seeing in audits of the hazard reports that say, this happened, this is how we fixed it. This broke, fixed it. Very little analysis of what the hazard, the root cause analysis is lacking. You know, yes, there's some that are very simple, you know, light burned out, replace light bulb. But at some point, it's like you got to ask, you know, again, the simplest technique is five whys, and write down, record somewhere what you think the root causes, the root hazards. And you'll find that there's some common ones out there. You know, there's complacency. There's lack of information access. Fatigue. You know, a constantly changing environment and hard to keep up with. If, you know, the idea of all these guys is to get to the root cause, yes, make the repair as to how that hazard manifests itself with a problem in your flight department, but then back up, pan back, take the 450 view and say, well, you know, that was a complacency issue. Where else may we have complacency issues? You know, it showed up over here doing that, but, you know, is there other areas that we could be affected? And, you know, the great example that I saw with one of the audits I did was, you know, mechanic turned on the nitrogen bottle gauge, bent over, and the gauge blew up, literally shrapnel everywhere. Person wasn't hurt, but it would have been very easy to just say, you know, nitrogen pressure gauge blew up, replaced. But when the operator dug into the root cause, they found out that that thing had a shelf life of 10 years. They had no idea how old it was, and that caused them to think, well, how old is everything in our hangar? And, you know, it was one of those legacy departments that had been around forever, and they had stuff that was 40, 50 years old sitting in the hangar. And so, you know, that embarked them on a program of, you know, reviewing the age and condition of all their ground support equipment and aircraft jacks and things like that. So, any comments on that? All right, I'll get off my soapbox. So I see it's close to 12 noon. I apologize for the communication difficulties from time to time, so I'll wrap it up. I want to thank all of you for joining the call, and especially those of you that shared your comments. Again, please sign up with the Aeronomics Twitter account, which is just at Aeronomics. And I also have a LinkedIn group for safety officers to keep the discussion going. I want to thank Allianz again for their sponsorship. As a reminder, I'll be coming out posting, you know, a process of getting credit for participating in these calls and getting a, you know, completion certificate of recurrent training for your safety officers. Next regularly scheduled call is in 2 weeks, August 23rd. Keep your – and I probably will have a guest speaker for that one coming up. And I'll announce that once it's confirmed. So please keep your comments, questions coming in. Thank you, guys. So in signing off, instead of saying be safe to each other, which to me doesn't mean anything, because it's really all about identifying hazards and mitigating risks. So thank you, and talk to you again in 2 weeks. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Walter.
Thank you, Walter.
Yeah, thank you, Walter.
Thanks a lot, Walt.
You bet.